Hallelujah. You know, in Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. 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 You know, knowledge of truth is such a powerful key. It's phenomenal. I mean, because freedom is learned. Amen? Freedom is learned. You know, the enemy always tries to get us in a position where something is more important than the knowledge of God. He tries to get us busy to move us out of position. He tries to set plans and snares so that we are missing what God is trying to bring. Does everybody understand that? You know, there isn't anything greater than fresh manna. I mean, the Israelites used to run out of their tents and get that fresh manna, man, and eat it up. And then they'd gather enough because they were going to skip a day. And they'd take that manna from heaven. But the manna that we get from heaven was from the Word of God. And it's to feed our spirit. Amen? You know, and I shared already about one day when I was praying, I said, Lord, strengthen me to say yes to you and give me the power to say no to temptation or no to the devil. And it comes by manna. Why? Because what you eat is what you become. So the more of the world you eat, the more of the world you become. The more of the spirit of things that you eat, the more of the things of the spirit you become. That's why the enemy tries to interrupt, interfere, bring reasoning, deception, or snare an individual from getting fresh manna or knowledge. Does everybody understand that? And you see, while you're in being fed by the Spirit of God, you must take authority over your thoughts. Because you may be here, but not here. You may be drifting everywhere else. This spirit of laziness and deaf and dumb spirit come upon you, and you become a goofball. And then he blinds you, and you can't get anything that God is trying to feed you. And if you can't get fed, you'll get fed of a spirit of darkness instead of the spirit of light. Then you become very lazy, complacent, and compromised. And you can't understand why you're going to every Bible study and every service, because you're really not here. Does everybody understand that? See, you must fight for the presence of God. You must fight for the manna of God. It's your responsibility. See, we're to be coming together for the special anointing that runs down. It's good for brethren to dwell together. That anointing, see, where you are in your worship is where you are to receive the manna. Because you can't receive the things of the Spirit unless you're in the Spirit. Other than that, it becomes foolish to you. You'll be thinking about everything you're supposed to do, your job, your work, who you miss, how much money you have in your bank account, or how much money you don't have in your bank account. You'll be everywhere but where you're supposed to be. Come on. And the devil wants to prevent you from getting the manna because he knows it will strengthen your spirit. Because he fears you more than you fear him. And one of his jobs is to prevent you from getting to the place God has called you to be in the spirit. Because you're too much of a danger to his kingdom. We must come more out of the carnal arena and get more in the other realm, because that's where we belong. In other words, this is not your home. The other side is your home. You're just traveling through this side. You are no longer a citizen of this side, even though we have a visa. You are now a citizen of the other side. You gave up citizenship to this side. The only thing you have is a visa now to walk on this side. And your purpose of walking on this side and still staying alive right now is to destroy the kingdom of darkness. That's the only reason why you're still alive. Other than that, you should just go home. And you better beware standing right before God, or you're going to the wrong home. Hello. The foolishness. Why do you live? The Bible says that we're no longer to live for ourselves, but to live for God. What are you supposed to labor for? The Bible says you're no longer supposed to labor for yourself, but labor for God. Our whole purpose of life now is to destroy the kingdom of God. I mean, the kingdom of darkness, and expose the kingdom and exploit the kingdom of God and expand it from one end of earth to the other. Does everybody understand that? Better edit that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when the devil tries to snare you in all of these areas, I'm going to tell you something. There is always a way of escape. Always. God will never leave you without a way of escape. Never. And no matter what it is, he'll never leave you without a way of escape. Amen? Turn to 1 Corinthians something. Let me put my glasses on. I'll tell you where we're going. 1 Corinthians 10. Sure got hot in here, man. Glory. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and get a drink, will you? Some of you need a shot. Double. Get him, Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Praise God, became all things that others can be saved. Thank you, Lord. Start at verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the what? Same spiritual food. All drank the what? Same spiritual rock. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Who did not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down and to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor what? Complain, as some of them also complained and were what? Destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. Upon whom the what? Ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Then why do people blow it? Hello. Why do people blow it then? It says sexual sin thoughts. It says, tempt Christ. And how we tempt Christ? Do you ever rebel? Do you tempt him by going beyond your limitations? Hello, do you get this? What you do, you tempt him. Do you tempt him or do you fall in a place of complain? All of these things bring a snare to you. By who? The devil. They'll bring a snare to you. Or do you tempt him by being prideful? Amen. Now we know pride, the two fruits of pride is rebellion and betrayal. Amen. It's rebellion and betrayal. It's one who relies on self-strength. The moment you think you can do it, you're already out of position. I don't care how long you've been a believer. I don't care how much knowledge you have. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us and no other. No other. The moment you're relying on what you know, you begin to rely on your strength. What you know is always to bring you to Him. What you know is always to bring you to the focus of Him. He said, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. So in other words, everybody's being tempted by the same thing, but you're the one who has taken the bait because of pride. The Bible says pride goes before the fall, right? But He says that He made a way of escape for you already. No, in other words, no matter what circumstance you are in, there is always a way of escape. The problem is that pride blinds your discernment. Are you understanding? So the way of escape is right there, but you can't see it. Did you ever hear the story? And everybody's heard the story, but I'm going to repeat it. There was a flood that came in, and a gentleman was in the house, and it was... This guy came with a four-wheel truck and said, come on, let's get out of here. And he says, no, I'm waiting on God. I just prayed. It's okay. And he leaves. Now the flood goes up on the porch, going to the second window. Can't use the truck anymore. Somebody comes by with a boat. And dude goes, come on, get in there, man. You're going to die out here. No, man, I'm waiting on God. I prayed. A little prideful thing, you know. And the boat takes off. And now the flood goes over the house. This guy's swimming for his life just about. Helicopter comes. Throws down the ladder. Says, come on, get out. No, he says, no, I'm waiting on God. Dude drowns. Gets to heaven. Gets before the Lord and he says, man, what happened? Where were you? Here I prayed, I was waiting on you to come and get me. He said, who do you think sent the truck, the boat, and the helicopter? See, it's because we come into a place where we expect God to rescue us according to the way we want to be rescued instead of the way He's going to do it. See, He knows the best way to bring glory to His name. We don't. We think we do, but we don't. We don't know nothing. Hello. Now, so what does it take to get in the arena of the way of escape? Humbleness. Everyone say humbleness. Humbleness. Pride will always cause you to miss the escape. But humbleness will always allow you to be led. No reasoning, no justification. No high expectation of how God's going to do it. Just know that He's going to do it. And you wait for Him to come. You wait for the door. See, but now rebellion will say, well, I mean, you know, how many times have we been warned in certain areas in our life? Don't do that. Why would He say, don't do that? How many times you've been convicted? Don't do that. Why? Because we're going over the limitations, aren't we? And next thing we know, we fall into the snare, but God is even trying, even when you get snared, God is still trying to make a way of escape for you, no matter what. Go to Psalm 34. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 34. glory. Verse 19. Ooh, better go to verse 18. I better start at 17. Hallelujah. Everybody needs to read this, okay? Better start at Genesis 1. No. In verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The righteous cry out, and God hears. So have you ever been in trouble? Did you repent? Well, then you became righteous again, didn't you? So that when now you got to understand, he's making a way of escape for you. I mean, he's not holding it against me? No. He's not holding it against you. If you repented when you got in trouble, he's making a way of escape for you. Now you must accept your consequences. Hello? You must accept your reaping. But that doesn't matter. He's still making a way of escape from you, from the devil. Better to fall in the hands of the King of Glory who loves you than the devil who wants to kill you. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord, verse 18, is near to those who have a what? Broken heart. That's humble. And save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So you're going to be afflicted, aren't you? But I'm telling you, God has got a way of escape. It says many afflictions are the righteous. Many. You know, you ever hear that song, Over Troubled Waters? People think faith is skimming over troubled waters. No, faith isn't skimming over troubled waters. Faith is enduring troubled waters. Amen? Faith is going through them. People are wondering, well, I can't believe I'm afflicted. Lord, I've been doing everything I'm supposed to. Oh, you opened a door somewhere. Not only that, what did Jesus do? He didn't do anything, did he? Was he afflicted? So sometimes affliction doesn't even mean about an open door. You're just going to be afflicted. But God is going to use it for the good. Amen? Listen, you live in an afflicted world. Sometimes you just happen to step into the cross path of a war. And you might not even be a part of it. It could be between two other people carrying a bunch of demons. And you just happen to be there. But God was calling you to be the peacemaker. Amen? See, but if you grumble and complain, oh, Lord, I didn't do anything. I don't understand why this happened to me. Well, hallelujah. Blessed are those who are persecuted for your name's sake. Amen? Many afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver, or he'll make a way of escape for you every time. Every time. Psalm 141. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. In verse 8. That must have been the war horn. I know it ain't the surrender one, so praise God. In verse 8, would you read it with me? But my eyes are upon you, O God, the Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I escape safely. While what? I escape safely. See, but there's something he wants us to do. He wants us to cooperate, doesn't he? There must be cooperation with the escape of God. Always. In anything that we're doing, there always must be cooperation. Go to 142 and look at verse 5. It says, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. He made confession, though, didn't he? He wasn't prideful. He humbled himself. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. See, sometimes a way of escape is just coming into fellowship. Do you understand that? Sometimes when we come together, you don't even know what your snare is. You don't even know what's troubling you. You don't even know sometimes what this oppression is about. All of a sudden you come together in fellowship. God surrounds you with the righteous and those spirits leave you. Things begin to break off of you and you haven't done anything. That's all you were was obedient and to gather together in unity of the Spirit. Amen? That's it. Sometimes when you just come into the building, all of a sudden something leaves you because that thing don't want to get in the presence of God. But he'll wait outside for you. He has a couple of cigarettes, a couple of drinks, you know. Hangs out, looks at all the lust out there, waits for you. Then you go back out. He's got his hand out like he's hitchhiking his thumb. And it's up to you whether you give him the ride or not. Amen? You want to give him the ride? You go ahead. Praise God. Hallelujah. Remember, when you cry out to God, and that's what he said. He said, I cried out to you, O Lord. What's he crying out for? Mercy. He's asking God. He's saying, Lord, consider me. Because mercy does what? It causes God to consider you. And grace is God's plan of escape. I'm going to say that. Mercy considers me. Grace is God's plan of escape. Oh, hallelujah. Now, grace does not come before mercy. Mercy, grace comes after mercy. Because you first must get humble before the plan is revealed to you. That's why the Bible says God resists the proud but gives what? Grace to the humble. What's he giving to the humble? A way of escape. Come on, do you get this? Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Verse 37. Here's the prayer, right? What did he say? Come on, pray this. He said, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There it is. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So here was the prayer that Jesus was telling them to pray. Wasn't he? Matthew 6:13. Deliver us from the evil one. In other words, get your prayer. Sometimes, listen, in your prayer time, you always at the end of your prayer, sometimes, or even in the beginning, ask the Lord what he wants you to do. Lord, what do you want me to do? The majority of the time, he's going to send you to a psalm or somewhere to pray something specifically because the purpose of that is so that you can sow a specific prayer for a way of escape. Are you listening? So that he can what? So that you can sow the prayer for a way of escape. Because he knows what you're going through. But see, the thing is if there is no fellowship, there is no escape. Prayer is a two-way street. You pray, he listens. He speaks, you listen. Hello? It's not a one-way conversation. So you ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you be honest with him, Lord, if I'm missing you and can't hear it, impart it in my spirit and cause me to walk according to the way you want me to. Cause me. See, this is relationship. Because what you're saying to him is, I can't do it without you. I can't do it without you. If there's something I'm touching unclean and don't even realize it, expose it or just remove it. There's times when I say, Lord, search me through. I don't even want to know what's there. Just get rid of it. I don't even want to look at it. Just get rid of it. I don't need to look at it. Just get rid of it. In Psalm 107. Hallelujah. Psalm 107. Glorious. You know, too many people try to make a way of escape in the flesh. And when they make a way of escape in the flesh, they snare themselves in their own net. They actually assist the devil in snaring them. Individuals that become anxious and move ahead of God because they're going through an affliction and trying to get out of it real quick and can't wait for God to get them out, they move out in the flesh. And then they make the affliction harder, bigger, and longer. Because we've got to come to a point where only God can deliver you. The Bible says, do that all you can to stand. What are you standing for? I'm standing until I'm rescued. Are you with me? You're standing so that you don't fall. Sometimes you just got to stand still and wait on God. Sometimes you just got to duck the storm and wait. Too many prideful individuals are trying to get up and fight the storm and they get moved out of position. Or their pride won't allow them to make a confession. Or their pride won't allow them to ask for prayer. Or their pride won't allow them to ask for counsel. Well, what will somebody think? I've been a believer for 45 years and I'm struggling with this. Who stinking cares? You little prideful thing. That's how the enemy loves it. He loves to snare people. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 107, verse 17. Fools, glory, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were what? Afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. And they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Come on, man. These are people that really blew it. They blew it. But then they cried out to God. What did they do? They humbled themselves and cried out to God. And what did he do? He saved their butts. Amen? Look at verse 20. Read it. He sent his word and what? Healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's powerful. Powerful. But he says, oh, hallelujah. What did they do? They walked out of his protection, didn't they? They walked out of his protection. And when they walked out of his protection, they were afflicted. One day, now you got to understand something. I must have touched a temporary curse because I had a flu, a virus of some kind. And I was just sneezing, whatever. And I mean, you know, we were praising worship in the living room. All of a sudden, I heard the voice of the Lord say, Guy, you're going to be afflicted. I didn't even think of anything. I just said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, I'm going to heal you. I said, okay. I forgot all about it. That night, I was crippled. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I realized that my arms and my legs were all twisted. There was lack of oxygen in my body. I was weeping in my bed while I was sleeping. I was in such pain. And the words began to come out of my mouth saying, "You are awesome in this place, mighty God." I rolled out of my bed and crawled on my hands and my knees. And my wife saw me, grabbed me, put me, brought me in the other room, and began to pray for me. She went that morning to morning prayer early. I still had a high temperature. She said to me, "If this isn't broke today, I'm going to bring you to the hospital." She came home. It still wasn't broke. She says, "I'm bringing it to your hospital." I said, "No. The Lord said, you'll heal me." I was fading in and out. The only thing I could see was people praying for me, like I saw believers' hands on me. And they were praying for me, but it hadn't broke through yet. So that afternoon, I was still very sick, very high temperature. I think I like had 104 temperature or something like this. 103 temperature or something. I was very sick. My head was pounding. I was going in and out. And one of my brothers in Christ came over and rebuked the spirit of fever over me. And nothing still happened. And the Lord, I kept remembering the Lord saying, "I'm going to heal you." So my wife said, "That's it, guy. I can't take," my wife being a nurse. She was afraid I was going to go into a coma. So I said, "Look it. I'll tell you what you can do. You can take me to the local clinic, but I'm not going to no hospital." And on the way, they carried me to the car. They had to dress me. I was too weak to get dressed. They dressed me. They carried me and put me in the front seat of the car. And on the way to the clinic, they checked me in and whatever, and they brought me in the room, and they were waiting for the doctor to come in. By the time the doctor came in and put the thermometer in my mouth, I was totally healed. I left that clinic and went out and ate garlic, mashed potatoes, and all kinds of stuff for breakfast. I was celebrating. Why? Because he said to me he was going to heal me. In other words, only thing I could do was wait for deliverance, wait for the escape. I didn't know when. I didn't know how. In fact, it was in my mind, well, maybe he was going to heal me at the hospital. Maybe he was going to heal me through this way. Maybe, but it was like, no. If he said he was going to heal me, he's going to heal me. And as soon as that doctor went to go put his thermometer in my mouth, bam, I was healed. And I told him, "Jesus just healed me." And I got up, told everybody in the place, "I've been healed." Left, got in the car, went for breakfast. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is everybody all right? Go to Proverbs 19. Praise be to God. Proverbs 19. See, there are times when God is going to make a way of escape for you. And I'm going to give you another example. I've been sick before, and I have been tormented. I have been accused and so forth and fighting certain things. And when I would say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" He'd quicken me to a scripture. I'd go read the scripture, and he'd say, "I'm going to heal you." Or he'd give me a special prayer to say, "I want you to ask for me to deliver you from your enemies." Do you understand that? What was he doing? See, you must cooperate with the way of escape. And how do you cooperate with that? Is by the word of God. Are you understanding? So when you are attacked with fear, you must attack fear. And then you wait for the way of escape. Are you listening? One day I was sick and he sent me to, I think it was Psalm 40. And it said, "Because you've given to the poor, I will raise you up from your sickbed." Well, that's all I needed to know. praise God. I just waited then. Put on a movie and waited. Had some popcorn. Okay, Daddy, I'm waiting. I know you're gonna come and rescue me. I'm just waiting. Hello? Why? Because he said, because you give to the poor, I'm going to raise you up from your sickbed. Praise God. That's all I needed to hear. He gave me that psalm that morning. And I knew something was going to happen. So I just waited. So it's like, enjoy the rest while you can. Hallelujah. And Proverbs 19. Did I say that? Is anybody there yet? Good. Proverbs 19 and verse 5. Read it with me. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. Now, what will keep you snared is by proclaiming that you're somebody you're not. By becoming a false witness is serving darkness, claiming to be a believer. That's a false witness. It will keep you in that snare. Lying will keep you in that snare until you finally what? Humble yourself. Do you get it? Man, you'll stay in that snare. You'll stay in that place until you finally eat some humble pie with a lot of whipped cream. Hallelujah. A false witness and liar will keep you there. Hebrews 2. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2. Way of escape. See, he makes a way of escape with temptations. He makes a way of escape with sickness. He makes a way of escape with fears. He makes a way of escape with troubles. He makes a way of escape with debt. He makes a way of escape for everything. There isn't anything that is not granted to you with a way of escape. Even when you're at fault. Hello? Why? You humble yourself. And he makes a way of escape, doesn't he? In Hebrews chapter 2. Now, you know, you got to understand something. I'm not going to go beyond, you never know when that way of escape is no longer going to be granted. Because that's up to him. The Bible even says that he has to grant repentance. So you don't know when that last way of escape was the final. Certainly don't want to take that chance, do you? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. That wasn't too difficult. Would you read it with me, 1 through 4? Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we what? Drift away. We got a wonderful teaching called Evidence of Drifting Away. It's excellent. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just reward, how shall we escape if we what? Neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. In other words, how can we neglect the things of God? By neglecting the things of God, you bring yourself into a snare. And you miss the way of escape. One of the things he's always trying to express to us of who we are. You know, as soon as we blunder something, the enemy begins to hit you with everything. He begins to remove you out of position in the area where you're no good, you're this, whatever, and everybody hates you, and you might as well just kill yourself. You'll never get back to where you were. Hopefully you won't never get back to where you were. You're supposed to get further than that. That's what brings people in the snare. They look at where they need to get back to, and they need to go beyond it. Because where they were at didn't help them. You need to get beyond it. Glory to God. Psalm 71. Hallelujah. Psalm 71, starting at verse 1. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? "And you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape." Now, you think this is a prayer from someone that God is directing? Listen, pray this. Why? Because you're about to get snared. Now, do you want a way of escape? That's why it's important. Lord, what do you want me to do? Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. In other words, I don't get it. But establish my steps. Cause me to walk in the way of escape. Cause me to do it. Hey, listen, if the Lord sent his angels to Lot, grab them by the hand and pull them out, what won't he do for you? Of course, his wife was another story. She was afraid of everything she lost. Turned behind, went to stone. "Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked and out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day." Now that's a powerful prayer. See, God will give you these prayers. This is how you will make a way of escape. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Are you getting this? Now you know you're going to need this, right? The Spirit gives us things to what? Come. So you know you're going to need this. Now, you've got to get ready to use it. Just don't neglect it. Use it. Some of you are already snared. And God is making a way of escape for you tonight. It's unconditional love. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. "Alexander the carpenter did me harm, much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works." This is Paul. "There was that dirty dog, he hurt me. But I have to forgive him, I give him to God. Lord, just repay him according to his deeds." In other words, what you sow is what you reap. Amen. "You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord," what? "Stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. And to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. The Lord stood with him. Amen. Go to Ecclesiastes 7. Bless your holy name. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. Is everybody there? Almost. It's good to hear the pages turn in on a Tuesday night. Bless your holy name. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. For there is not a just man on the earth who does good and does not sin. Also do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. Glory. All this I have proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know, to search and to seek out wisdom, the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. Oh, now it's just not, doesn't represent just a female. Do you understand that? Okay. So he's understanding, he said, now you need to get some wisdom here. Because the sinner doesn't have the wisdom of God. See, when you are snared in sin, the wisdom of God has been negated. Until you come to what? Repentance and humbleness. Then God opens his wisdom to you. Why? So the first thing, let me tell you, the Bible says that wisdom is what? That's the beginning of, oh no, wait a minute. Fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. Amen. So what you? So he releases his wisdom. Why? So you can reverence him. Then what does he do? He makes a way of escape for you. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Those who please God, a way of escape will be given to them. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 4. Is everybody there? For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, hello, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, hallelujah, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Whoa. So here we see that these men and families were rescued, weren't they? Even though they were in a circumstance of evilness and destruction. Do you see this? He even made a way of escape for them, didn't he? Amen? Made a way of escape. Let's go a little further. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Glory. Verse 3. Would you read it with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our what? Tribulations. In other words, your troubles and afflictions. That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even our life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Now we see here, this is something very powerful, because you know what? He said that even though we were sentenced to death, God delivered us. And not only did he deliver them, but he delivered them again, and he said, and we trust that he will deliver us again. Amen. Why? What was he doing? Making a way of escape. See, deliverance is a way of escape. You know why people go through the deliverance here? Because they're actually making a way of escape. Deliverance is a way of escape. A way of escape of what? The snare of the devil. So, but you know what? There are people afraid to go through deliverance. You know why? Those demons come to the surface and go, you ain't getting me out of here. I've been in this house 40-some years. Rent-free. Hello? Now some of us, you know, you can go through deliverance and then that devil can come back, knock on the door, and you can say, oh, come on in. See, that's a doctrine of a devil, isn't it? And the Bible says, don't even what? Let him in your house. We won't go there tonight. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 27. How do you let a devil in your house quickly? Listen to worldly music. Get angry and cuss at somebody. Hold resentment and unforgiveness. Lie. Hide the truth. Oh, hallelujah. See, the Bible says when you know what to do is good and you don't do it, it's what? Sin. So that means you open yourself to the devil. Romans 8:27, is everybody there? Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. For we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. He what? He glorified. In other words, all things are going to work to the good. All of your afflictions, all of your sins, everything that you have done ungodly can be turned to the good. Why? Because you'll know how to comfort and how to counsel or console somebody else who's going through it. Amen? You know, it's a rough way to go through training. You know, the Bible says, for much is forgiven, much is love. So if you're being forgiven more, there's more love. Not that God doesn't love us any different, but we have a tendency to love him more. And every one of us has been to the pit and back a couple times. Amen? So there must be great love for him. But he says, all things will work to the good. So everything that you've been through can work to the good. Now you can tell somebody else when they're snared. Like, man, I've been there. Man, I've been snared. Hey, man, I've been rebellious. And this is what happened with me. Yeah, I stopped fellowshipping, and this is what happened with me. You know, the Bible says, forsake not to assemble. Why? Because you need that corporate anointing to survive. And people think, well, I can just do it on myself because of an independent spirit. And they can't. They can't. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4. Praise God. Is everybody okay? 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 7, are you there? Praise you, Lord. Can we all read this together, please? But we have these treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not... Oh, hallelujah. You are tested on this. Always. You will be tested whether you're relying on the power of God or you. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. You think that's affliction? Amen. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working for us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, say faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with him. You. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Faith. Now we talked about something that we needed, and that was to maintain humbleness. The second thing that is important, these are the two major things. Humbleness and faith. Humbleness and faith. Now we also talked about needing wisdom, didn't we? But humbleness and faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go to Hebrews 11. No, I'm not going to skip that tonight. But you can go to Hebrews 11, verses 30 to 40. It talks about more about faith. And about the men and women of God of faith that have made it through. Amen? Go to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Shurubokosan daravia. See, faith causes us to endure. Again, you're not going to tiptoe through the tulips. Amen? Faith allows you to go through, to get to the other side by holding on. In other words, you're holding on to nothing until what? Becomes something. Your hope is in Him. You're holding on, you're waiting, you're enduring, you're standing until the rescue comes or the way of escape is manifested. Because He always makes a way of escape. In Proverbs 24 and verse 13, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? My son, eat honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you have found it, there is a prospect, and your hope will not be cut off. Do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not plunder his resting place. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Ooh. So even a righteous man may bite the bait and fall. But the thing is don't stay there. Get up. Get up. The quicker you get up, the less you reap. Amen? Daniel 3. Glory to God. This is where God wants us to get to. Daniel chapter 3. Praise God. Is everybody there? Daniel 3. In verse 10, it says that King Nebuchadnezzar made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Okay? Now, we know that there were three brothers in Christ who refused to bow down and worship. Amen? Now, verse 14, it says, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at that time, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fire or furnace, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Come on now, get this. This is where God wants us to get to. We need not answer you into. I'm not even going to respond to that. I'm not going there. We got a good teaching on that too. Don't go there. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us from your hand, O King. Now come on, man. This is where God wants us to get to. Why? These men knew that God would make a way of escape no matter what circumstance. They stood on faith. They trusted who their God was. They did not rely on their own strength whatsoever. They were dead men walking. And then they said, okay, now, what if not? In other words, if we die, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods. Even if we die. Nor will we worship the gold image which you set up. So take that. Then Nebuchadnezzar fainted. No. Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. He was furious, man. I mean, he was looking for a baseball bat or something. And the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I bet it did. His jaw was probably on the floor. And he spoke, spitting out words, and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. Whoa! He was upset. The furnace was so hot you could have cooked hot dogs in another county. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Now they were bound. They were thrown in there. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. In other words, they were set to cook. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They cooked. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They asked and answered the king, "True, O king." Yeah, there's three of them in there. He said, "Well, then why don't you guys look in there?" He answered, "I see four men, loose, with no bounds, walking around in the fire. And they're not even hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." How did he know what the Son of God looked like? He must have saw him in a dream. Then the Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, governors, the king's counselors, everybody who was of somebody gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not even on them. The only thing that burned was the bonds that they had. Nothing else burned. Why? They stood faithful on who they are. They stood faithful on their king. God, they knew he was going to make a way of escape. Why? Because of their relationship with him. They knew it. God wants you and me to get in that place. No matter what. Okay, Lord, I know you got a way of escape for me. I'm either going to die and come home, or you're going to make a way of escape here. Either way, I will not serve those other gods. And I don't care what you say, O King O. I'm not worshiping no demon. I'm going to stand strong. Because no matter what, you've got a way of escape for me, my Lord. Amen? That's where God wants us to get to. Now I'm going to close at 1 Thessalonians 5. Glory to the Lamb. He's always got a way of escape for you. But you got to be humble and stand on faith. You know, faith is really simple. It's the area where you trust in God. Amen? In other words, you're not relying on what you see. You're relying on Him. And there's a place where God tests you, where no man, there's a time when nothing works. You can quote the scriptures all day long. You try to praise and worship, you try everything and nothing's working. You know why God is saying? Okay, I want you to rely on me. not what I've taught you, but on me personally. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Is everybody there? Good. I'll be right there. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 1. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Hello. But let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of what? Faith and love. And as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Amen. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, in every area where we have not humbled ourselves or been anxious and tried to rescue ourselves and make our own way of escape, Lord, we repent. We ask that you sever every snare in every area of our life where self-righteousness has been established in the area of forming our own way of rescue. But we ask, Lord, tonight that you will perform your rescue. Lord, open the doors that are of you and shut the doors that are not. Cause us to walk in the way of escape, that we may give you glory, and grant us more faith in the place as our brothers who stood in a fiery furnace knew you would make a way. Lord, our hope is in you, and our strength is in you. Our life is in you, and we commit to you all things and promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name.